Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. And we have as our guest today Kenny Silva, who is an entrepreneur, and he has been in the weapons building systems for F-15s, and he served in the United States Air Force, and he's worked as an emergency medical technician. He is a natural leader. He has over 12,800 Twitter followers, and that's how we connected. And, Kenny, we're really glad to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Laurie Beth. I'm excited to be here.
That's great. We had some glitches in our pre-show, and, you know, that's what makes a leader, right?
Being able
to go with the flow.
Absolutely. Improvise, adapt, overcome, and all that good stuff.
Exactly. So in the pre-show, you shared that you're doing real estate in Nashville, and you have a closing today, which is great news for the economy for Nashville. And
yes, ma'am.
So how are you building? And we talked about you building a business in one of the toughest real estate climates that we've ever encountered. And yet here you are on your way to a closing. So talk to me about that. How are you getting success out of the ashes?
It's really all about coming back to fundamentals, to realizing what works and what doesn't work. And there's kind of this age-old adage in the real estate industry that says it's a contact sport. And you can look at that either two ways. You can look at quantity of contacts, whereas you can spend all your time on the phone calling people, and if you call 100 people, odds are one or two of them are going to need to sell their house. But
right. Kind
of the way I've looked at it and the way I've built my business is not so much quantity of contact, but quality of contact. I've discovered that I'm kind of a natural people person. I do my best to be a connector. I really enjoy networking. But what I enjoy most is meeting new people, hearing about their problems and what they're struggling with, and trying to connect them with solutions to those problems. And I found that in that process, it's the greatest way to build a relationship, business or otherwise. And throughout that, people have come to know me and my brand as someone who's willing to help, a person of value. And I've honestly been building my business on that so that people know that when it comes to real estate, who they're going to get, what kind of job I'm going to do for them. And also by building those relationships, it's also built a very strong referral base where people aren't afraid to send me their friends because they trust me.
So on this particular listing, how did you get this, if it's not too personal?
No,
I used
not
to be
all.
A real
today,
estate agent. So I
no,
know what
it's
not it's
personal
like.
At all. Today is I'm actually representing the buyer. It's a friend of mine. I met her through friends at church months and months ago. She's actually active duty Air Force, which is an active duty Air Force recruiter, which is kind of a funny coincidence because we didn't really meet through anything having to do with real estate. I'm sorry, through anything having to do with the Air Force. But I met her at church through friends, and she had been off jet setting around the country, just doing different kind of trainings for the Air Force. And finally, when she got back to Nashville, she settled into her recruiting role here, where she'll be for the next couple of years. And she called me up out of the blue and said, "Hey, I know we haven't talked in a while, but I've got this house that I found online. I really like it. I've been wanting to buy a house for a while. Do you think you could show it to me?" Well, absolutely. But we didn't go and look at it right away because I saw that. I was like, let's make sure that you're ready. Let's make sure that this kind of lines up with your goals. This isn't kind of on a whim sort of thing. So we met up at a local coffee shop because if you know me, I set up shop in all of our local coffee shops here in Nashville. We just sat down you won't find me in the office very often. But we sat down for about half an hour to 45 minutes, and we just talked it through. And we kind of got to know where she was at and whether this really did make sense for her. And, turns out it did. We went and looked at that house. We looked at a few others, but that house was perfect for her. And ended up writing a contract on it, and here we are today.
Wow. So the church connection, coffee shop, and she
mm-hmm.
obviously kept your card.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we stayed in touch through that time because, our relationship wasn't built on the basis of someday she's going to buy a house from me. And she was a friend,
right.
And I honestly cared what was going on. And we kind of kept that contact up.
Wow. That is a great story. Some of my best friends really have been real estate agents. I talk about one who helped my mother get financing, Second Park financing in Sedona. And, you know, just the opportunity to intersect with people when they're making life changes is amazing.
Right.
So you talk about culture and organizational culture. What does that mean to you?
When we look at organizational culture, it dovetails into what I was just talking about. It's this focus on building relationships where mutual value is paramount. And when we look inside of an organization, it's that mutual value is an important piece. That we're trying to build a culture where everyone contributes to the vision. And I see businesses do this best. I mean, you look at your Google, you look at your IDEO, and these companies that truly, truly value the input of their employees, and they actually make space for them to create that value and contribute it.
Well, when you talk about organizational culture, it really comes from a mindset too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Share the mindset thoughts you have there.
Sure. I see it in two ways. We have this sort of old guard, it's coming from last century, this old managerial factory mindset where we build a business and we're creating a product, we're creating a widget, we're creating a service, whatever, and we've got inputs, right? And we bring all the worker bees into the factory, and we manage the inputs, and we manage the processes, and we manage the production to create our intended output. That's a great model for last century. That's a great model for the factory and production work. And
right.
If you can't tell, I read Seth Godin a little bit. He talks a lot about this in his book, Lynchpin. But moving forward, we're moving into a culture of not so much production work as knowledge work, where we're not necessarily producing widgets, but we're producing experiences. We're producing services. And that old culture didn't provide for creativity. But the new culture I see is less of a culture of management, but more of a culture of leadership, where you get the right people on the team, you cast the vision, they catch that vision, and you don't manage each person on the team, but you lead them towards the specific outcome.
That is so important. The CEOs that I work with, they spend a good part of their time just walking the halls and getting people to remember what the vision is.
Absolutely.
Now, you worked as an emergency medical technician.
Yes,
were some of your memorable experiences during that time?
We're going back about 10 years. About 10 years. I remember one time, and I was young. This was my high school years. I did it from about 16 to 18. But I remember this one scene where there was a car accident. I don't remember all the details because I was one of many emergency responders there. But there was this girl who was actually related to a girl I went to school with, and she had brittle bone disease, and she was in the car accident. And she wasn't hurt. It's the amazing thing. She not a scratch on her, not a broken bone, nothing. And I remember I was just sitting with her, kind of getting her history, taking her vitals, just making sure that she was all right. And on the one aspect, I was just amazed that this girl had survived this horrific car crash. And on the other side, it's tough to describe the experience. I got to take sort of a pastoral role with her, where I was just sitting there talking to her, making sure she was okay, and we were just having a conversation, but it was one of the very first tangible opportunities in my life to take that kind of comforter role, where she had been through this horrific experience, and I could just kind of be there alongside her to walk her through what she had just encountered.
Wow. That is amazing. I remember I was driving through from San Diego to El Paso, and there was a horrible accident out in the desert, and I was one of the first people on the scene, and it was a family. A van had flipped, and there were six of them, and the father was wandering around. He was in shock, and the mother was still trapped in the car, and a number of people. And amazingly, a medical conference had been in Phoenix, and so there were doctors everywhere, but there weren't enough. And I remember sitting with this young man who had broken his arm, and just it took 25 minutes for the helicopters and the emergency vehicles to get there. And just sitting there talking to him and trying to keep the flies off of his face. And that, you know, that ministry of just being there, and you don't know what to do except represent Christ in that moment.
And there's so many, when we get deep into ministry one-on-one, dealing with people, walking with people, there's going to be so many of those situations where we just don't know what to do. I mean, they've been through something so horrible, so awful, or they're dealing with something we've just never seen before. And the very best we can do is just walk alongside them and show them the love of Christ and just pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us in that moment.
Mm. I love in your bio you said you're a Christ follower. Why didn't you just use the word Christian?
You know, I recognize the word Christian, and I am a Christian, but I don't think people understand necessarily what Christian is. If I say I'm a Christian, I can ask 11 different people what that means, and I'll get 11 different answers. It's almost, it seems like culture has relegated it to a political affiliation, and that's just, I see it as so much more. For me, it's honestly trying to follow Christ and live a life that reflects the glory of God, and live a life where I'm constantly asking, how do my actions look like what Jesus would have done, and try to hold every decision and every action accountable to that standard.
You know, that's so beautiful. I know a number of people who say they're Christ followers rather than Christians, because like you said, it's become a party affiliation, which isn't really even accurate. It's just the media has helped. And the people who grab the microphone tend to be on the extreme ends of things.
Right.
So often.
Absolutely. I mean, we can cherry pick scripture and use it to advance a political agenda, but scripture was never meant to be used in that way.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, I shared in the opening that you have built 12,000 Twitter followers. Tell us how you did that. When did you get started?
Well, I got started, the date is on there, I think it's about a year and a half ago. But it goes back to the mindset thing, kind of how I built my real estate business, really. It starts with focusing on building value, or adding value, and building relationships based on value. When I tweet about, it's, you know, there's lots of elements of connection there, because Twitter is an important community connection tool to communicate with people. Also, I'm trying to share stories that actually add value to people who follow me, stories that either pertain to their business or their personal lives or anything like that. And I really try to curate the content I go through during the day and share the good stuff, and also share insights. Or when I'm reading a book, if I come across a particularly, you know, helpful insight, I'll tweet that, and I'll put the author's name in there, and people enjoy that. And I think if you develop that mindset at the outset, and you're not just on there talking about what you have for breakfast, or you're not on there trying to sell things, then people will catch that, and eventually you develop a following.
That is great. So how can people follow you? What tweet address or email address would you like to give out to our listeners?
Sure. If you'd like to connect with me on Twitter, or if you're passionately curious about me on Twitter, it's just at Kenny Silva, and that's KennySilva, all one word.
Uh-huh. At Kenny Silva.
Yes,
Kenny,
ma'am.
you have been a blessing this morning. Thanks for rolling with me on all the challenges, and
it's
a blessing
pleasure.
To you.
You too, Lori Beth. Thank you so
Alrighty,
much.
All righty, Kenny. Thank you.
Have a great
Bye-bye.
Day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.